It might not all be in me, but it was definitely all about women candidates yesterday, because why, they have broad appeal. Big congratulations to governors-elect Mikey Sherrill in New Jersey and Abigail Spanberger in Virginia. I'm joined by my senior producer, Jamie Martinson, for this next half hour, and each and every one of you. Welcome, Jamie. Big wins yesterday.
It was a great night. You know what's really fun is I had this big long text chain on my phone. I have friends who live in the Virginia area, and we met many moons ago when we were all working in Washington, D.C. in our respective legislative offices. All of us have obviously moved on from that world into different realms of the world and doing all different things. But a lot of these friends still live in Virginia. And we are talking some tried and true GOPers back to the McCain days. Mm-hmm. And this text chain went until about 3 a.m. Because there was a party, because these tried and true GOP peers, former GOPers, they were huge canvassers, volunteers, organizers for Abigail Spanberger. And so the party, I hope none of them had to work today, because I had to go to bed eventually. But that text chain this morning when I got up was a lot of fun. And apparently the party went for a very long time, even though the election was called really early in the evening, because that was a wild text chain to read as the drinks kept flowing throughout the night.
Well, and that speaks to my underlying point for what I'm going to call good faith conservatives. Yeah. Or even independents, can you see now that the fundamental underpinnings and policy objectives of your party have been completely abrogated and abandoned by the MAGA movement? You no longer have any place in that movement. And if there was any question about it, Donald Trump's lawlessness, retributionary policies, nonsense economic policies, yes, his frankly shirking his duties as the world's, as the leader of the world's democracy, as the leader of NATO, all of that, none of that lines up with conservatism anymore. And conservatives had such an opportunity with Trump 2.0, right? And both houses of Congress. And it's, if I was a dyed-in-the-wool, good faith conservative, I would be just as angry, because the things that could have been accomplished responsibly have now been sacrificed. And now in this mandate, right, in this landslide win, and I'm going to talk about some of those proportions in a minute, that has been washed away and flushed.
Yes,
right? And now it's putting, the Democrats aren't on their heels anymore. That is gone. We now have a mandate and a mandate to continue to press this administration. So the impact, the import of Republicans after November 24, winning both houses of Congress, you're now handcuffed. That's why Donald Trump, like he tacos about everything else, flippity-floppity flip-flopped this morning on whether or not, you know, New York City will continue to receive federal grants and emergency aid money. Because this was a landslide.
And what I thought was interesting is when you look at the exit polls, whether you love to look at the polls or not, it is interesting, especially after the vote has already been cast. According to a majority of the exit polls, affordability and economy were the biggest factors when voters went into the booth yesterday. And it turns out that back in 1992, when James Carville said it's the economy, stupid when he was running Bill Clinton's campaign, it still kind of holds true in 2025, right? And, you know, it was interesting today listening to Mike Johnson and Tom Emmer on the steps of the Capitol give their comments after the election. Tom Emmer called this a pro-terrorism Marxist radicals, now the left's mainstream. Now, I'm not sure I would call Abigail Spanberger, a former intelligence officer, or Mikey Sherrill, a former Navy pilot, pro-terrorist
centrist. And
radicals.
Can I just say that? What an ass. Like, you content.
Yes,
you all complain for weeks and weeks about this incendiary rhetoric, and you trot that out after voters deliver a mandate to Democrats, to centrist Democrats, right?
Yes.
And again, I put a box around New York City. That's not
sure.
I mean, New York is one of one. But what was translatable and what you saw in each and every one of these elections, was again the excitement, the engagement. Again, the rebuking of Donald Trump and
younger candidates.
Yes, younger candidates, younger voters, people standing in line.
Yes.
Let's go to the phones, Jamie, and then I want to get into this discussion about the Hellcats. Folks, join Jamie and I. We are doing the election redux right now. You're welcome to share your thoughts, reactions. 855. Wait a minute. I'm doing this wrong. Why do I blank on the phone number every once in a while?
Because there's so much exciting stuff happening.
I'm just so excited. I'm flummoxed. 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Charles has been very patient. Charles, say hello to Jamie. What are your thoughts after what I'm going to call Winning Wednesday, the landslide that says no, sir, to Trump?
Hello, Maggie and Jamie. It was a glorious beatdown. My wife and I sat there and was watching when we were watching the results, and I'm like, wow. And these people didn't just win. I mean, they were landslides. They weren't even close outside of the, maybe the attorney general in Virginia, Jay Jones. Outside of that, the other races were just a beatdown. And to think that over 5 million people stood in line and voted to say, yes, we would like to fix our maps to counter the crookedness of the Republican Party. They don't even try to hide the crookedness anymore.
Yeah, and just a thought on that. To me, the butt kicking of MAGA in the California Prop 50 vote is extraordinarily notable.
Yeah.
Because for voters, like words like gerrymandering, redistricting, that it was in response to what was going on in Texas, that Newsom put together this campaign in less than 90 days, that the ballot measure itself had a time limitation on this particular redistricting. In other words, it will expire at the next census, that it would only take effect if other states do. This was an incredibly complicated ballot measure. It was a 90-day campaign, and it was an overwhelming margin, 64% to 36%. That's getting to the point where my math is being challenged. I mean, those are huge margins.
When Orange County, which is traditionally red, purple, whatever you want to call it, traditionally red because of the income that flows into Orange County, also votes for the same proposition, you know that maybe a line has been drawn in the cement. I'm not even going to say sand because it wasn't even blurry last night. It was
a
cement.
That's a 28% margin, and Latinos showed up in huge numbers, more than they did in November 2024 in the California Prop 50 vote. Thank you so much, Charles. Let's keep this rolling. Kurt from Madison, then we got Cindy coming up, and Jeannie. Kurt, what you got for us? Say hello to Jamie.
Hello, Jamie. Say, I have an idea that would make the Republicans' heads literally explode. And that is, we start teaching kids in grade school to start listing things that socialism provides. And I'll just give a short, brief example. Sewer, water, police, fire department. And this is my favorite one, Maggie. Representation, if you're in court of law and you can't afford a lawyer. So, I mean, start hammering down what socialism is, other than the lies that have been shoved down the throats of the right for as long as I can remember.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's so incredibly important, Kurt. I say to people all the time, define socialism for me when I hear these kinds of critiques. There is no pure capitalistic economy on the planet. It doesn't exist. So everything that we're talking about when it comes to economic policy is on a spectrum. And the question always should be, what is the outcome that we seek? A vibrant, growing middle class, increasing real wages, increasing wealth for the middle class. And then are we seeing policies that are generating those outcomes? And Kurt, I think you can fairly see, and Jim from Appleton is pointing this out as well, in the wake of, I'm going to go back to Buckley v. Vallejo in 1976, which was the first instance of the Supreme Court basically indicating that you're not really going to be able to regulate money in politics, that since then there is daylight between Democrats and Republicans. And certainly I think Democrats overarchingly are a much more pro working people, pro small business, pro middle class party, but that some of the daylight between them lost its salience for voters. And by this, I mean Democrats forgot the fundamental message, which we are a party of labor and middle class and small business owners, and we will never lose sight of that. And that, I think, got lost. Plus, if you look at some of the policies from either Bill Clinton or Barack Obama, there's a little bit of a corporatist lean. Again, I track that back to the Supreme Court's failure to acknowledge that money is in speech and corporations aren't people. And that got worse after Citizens United. But I think that's an incredibly well-taken point, Kurt. What are you actually talking about? Do you like your garbage getting picked up? Do you like your clean water? How about that clean air that you're breathing? Do you like, you know, again, I say all the time, regulations for regular people. Those things, anybody can make an argument, are, quote, socialist. A standing military can be argued that that is socialist, right? So this concept that we're either capitalists or we're socialists is a stupid frame, because those are extremes that, when you have seen either of those extremes pursued in any country, you see chaos. Meaning extreme socialism combined with communism, that fails. That is oppressive. Extraordinarily unmitigated capitalism with zero regulation, where the wealthy are the only ones that profit off of the work of the vast majority of us, that ends up creating chaos too. That's Donald Trump, right? That is what serves Trump, is what's going to be the policies, what serves his billionaire backers. That will be his policy objectives. That was Trump. Welfare for the wealthy 1.0 in his first administration, and that's the big brutal bill. Thank you so much, Kurt. I'm going to take a breath, let somebody else step in here, but that one really got me going. Cindy from Appleton, say hello to Jamie. What you got for us?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say, you were talking about how we women are feeling about all the women that get elected, and I think it's great, but I have to say with caution that I do not think in the Midwest and Wisconsin they have quite turned against Trump yet. So we Democrats still have a lot of work cut out for us.
Yes.
And I think we have some great candidates for governor, Sierra Rodriguez, Jessica yes. Hong, and Kelda Royce. But I did hear all of them the other night, and I'll tell you, I'm very impressed with David Crowley.
Yes.
Yes.
I couldn't agree with that assessment more. Jamie, you wanted to react to Cindy's comments. Thank you, Cindy.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, to what Cindy was saying, you're right. We are going to have to do a lot of work. There is a huge pool of Democratic candidates right now, 362 days until the midterms, and this is the time to start figuring out how you're going to volunteer, I think.
Yes, get involved. There is a movement. This was a mandate to Democrats, but the real battles will show up at the midterms and in the upper Midwest, of course, in 2028. Who are the right leaders to bring the Democratic Party into this new era of politics? Your thoughts and more discussion on the other side. Did you know that every single county in Virginia, including the ones that voted for the MAGA gubernatorial candidate, moved at least 6 points left? Yeah, folks, that's a mandate. That's a landslide. We discuss more on the other side. Join us. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4835.